I appreciate Brother Harold Noble, and got to know him this week, just met him this week, and appreciate this dear man of God and his precious wife. I've asked him to be the second preacher this morning, so brother, if you come on and give us what God's laid on your heart, brother. Yes, sir.
All amen's been very good, and if you're like me, you preach a lot, and you need to get somewhere, and somebody needs to fill your wagon. Is that exactly right? Amen. And I'm thankful for that. Amen. I believe the Lord's got his hand on what's happening here. Give him the glory and praise. Amen. I mean, he is the one. Without him, we can do nothing. Have your Bible, look in Zechariah chapter number 10 this morning. Zechariah chapter 10. If you can't find that, go to Matthew and turn left. And somebody asked me, what do you always preach down in front? The oldest preacher I ever knew was Dr. James Akers. He was 116 when I knew him, member of the Jordan Baptist Church in Lynchburg, Virginia. Our youngest son was about 3 or 4 years old when we first met him, and he knew Sheffy personally, a blast from the past. And we preached a revival there at Jordan Baptist. He sat on the second row. You normally sit on the front row. There's more leg room. In this place, there's plenty of leg room between there. I appreciate that. And he put his hand down on Brad's head. He's about 3 years old, and rubbed his head, and looked over at Jeannie and said, this young man's going to do great things for God. And he's now my pastor, and he's doing great things for God. Then he looked at me, and he didn't rub my head, but he turned to Jeannie and said, this man will die in the pulpit. So I preach down here as often as I can. I'm prepared, but I'm just not ready. You know the difference, you know? I'm prepared, but I'm not ready. And, boy, I've gotten good out of every message and every song. And again, give God the glory and praise. He's the only one that deserves it. There's a guy in the book of Acts named Herod. He took the praise, and the worms ate him on the spot. No thank you. No thank you. Preaching about Jesus. Amen. Zechariah chapter number 10. You got that? Say amen. Verse 1, ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. The Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to every one grass in the field. For the idols have spoken vanity. The diviners have seen a lie and told false dreams. They comfort in vain, therefore they went their way as a flock. They were troubled because there was no shepherd. Mine anger was kindled against the shepherds, and I punish the goats, for the Lord of hosts hath visited his flock, the house of Judah, and hath made them as a goodly horse in the battle. Now notice verse 4, we'll find our text. Out of him came forth the corner. Out of him the nail. Out of him the battle bow. Out of him every oppressor together. Father, I pray that you would help our hearts this morning. Lord, you've already blessed us, and Father, we're so thankful. Lord, our cups are full, and Lord, our tanks are full, and our batteries are charged. But Father, help us, Lord, this morning and today and tomorrow, that we would be at the peak of what we can do when we go back to our own ministries. Father, help us in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. What a strange verse this seems to me it is. Out of him came forth the corner. It's talking about the Lord. In verse 1, and the Lord, ask the Lord, he'll give you bright clouds. Out of him came forth the corner. Out of him the nail. Out of him the battle bow. Out of him every oppressor together. You find in this verse the Lord Jesus Christ. And we find him really in every aspect of our lives. I want to preach on this thought for just this few minutes, the Reader's Digest version of this. young people are going, Reader's Digest. Jesus, my everything. Jesus, my everything. My favorite hour of the morning is the very early morning, and I love that time. The phone's not ringing, and the emails aren't coming in. And we have ministries in the Philippines and Vietnam. They're all several hours ahead of us, so they think we're up at the same time they are. And well, anyhow. But I love the early hours. If I've got to drive, I want to get up before daylight and take off. And we got the bus and everything. I can leave Jeannie in the bed, and I get a long way. And that's my favorite time. I have made up my mind before on different occasions that I would pray, and I do. It's not that I don't, I do. But I want to only thank God for Him. Lord, this morning as I drive, I only want to be grateful for You. I only want to be grateful for Your goodness and Your blessings, and I don't want to ask anything for me, and I don't want to consider me, and it is impossible to do that. Because you're thanking God for the sun coming up. And He says, I did that for you. Lord, thank You for the beautiful day and the hills and the dew coming up off of it and the fog in the valleys as you roll through the Appalachians or wherever you're rolling through, and that's so beautiful. And He says, I did that for you. Father, thank You for sending Your Son. He said, I did that for you. Thank You for dying at Calvary, the death You died. He said, I did that for you. I said, Lord, look, Father, look right there to Your right. There's the Son sitting there. You ever live it to make intercession? He said, I did that for you. Everything that Jesus has ever done, He did to please the Father, and He did it for us. We are the apple of His eye. We are everything to Jesus. And He is our everything. Notice four things this morning very quickly. Out of Him came forth the corner. Now, I find two thoughts here. There are more, but I want to just give you two thoughts this morning about the corner. I want to say, first of all, He is our position. He is our position. He is the first stone down and the last stone up. If you don't have the first stone level and true and right, the building can never be right if the first one's not right. That's what happened to that pizza place over there in Italy. You know, they've got that Leaning Tower pizza. And it's Wednesday morning. The synapses are firing slowly today. The coffee's not reached the... Now, I'll tell you something, if the church isn't built on the right foundation, it will never become what it can be for God. If a family's not built on the right foundation, it will soon falter and fail and tip over and be gone. If your ministry is built on your personality or your ability, it will soon falter and fail. He is our position. I'm glad that we can build everything that we build in this life to the glory of God on His cornerstone. I'm thankful that He is so true and so righteous and so holy that He has the ability with the way He is, listen to me, to overcome our goof-ups and our sins and our mistakes. Because He's true. Because He's holy. Because He's righteous, say amen. Out of Him came forth the corner. What do you need in your family? Build it on Him. What do you need in your church? Build it on Him. What do you need in your ministry? Build it on the Lord Jesus Christ. And He will never fail you. And He will never falter you. Amen. I not only see the position, but I see He is not in my position. He is my supply. Now, I like this. Amen. The Bible's telling the children of Israel, when you reap your fields, you don't go in the corner and reap that. He said, that's for the poor and the stranger. And in the day we're living in, I've never seen more poor and strange people as I do, not in the world, but in Baptist churches. He's not only our position. Friend, I want to tell you something. He's our supply. I'm glad to thank tonight, this morning rather, that he supplied the blood for salvation, and he supplies grace, and he supplies mercy. But to get it to a level where we can really grasp and understand him, he supplies everything we need. The air we breathe. Praise God. The water we drink. I was telling the lady this morning, I only drink filtered water. I filter it through coffee, and then I drink it. And it doesn't matter where you go in the world, and I've been around the world. I'll tell you something, you stay in these motels and everything, and more than half of them I've been in have got a thing that says, now we're trying to save the water, and just use as much in the showers you need. We got the same water Adam had. There's no new water. You cannot make water. You cannot get any more new of it, amen. In fact, you can't even make water disappear. So I pour it on the ground. Good, it'll lay there a little bit and evaporate and become a cloud and rain on your poor little pointed head, amen. You can't get rid of it. It's the same water that Adam had. God made it to evaporate and condense and purify and rain down on us. Amen. He has supplied everything we need. Quit worrying. Look, preacher, aren't you worried about global warming? Aren't you worried about that? One of these days he's going to burn the sucker up. But right now, just serve him. Amen. Well, I've seen him supply. I've seen him supply. Went on the road in 1973. I'm practicing my old voice. I remember. I remember back in 70. Diesel fuel is 32 cents a gallon. I've seen it over $6 a gallon here recently. Had an evangelist acquaintance, and he had a big bus, and he got out of evangelism and took a church. That's between him and God, none of my business. But he made this statement, got out just in time. Now, if you got into evangelism because diesel was cheap and you got out because it got expensive, you're in for the wrong reason. Amen? If you run the buses at your church, oh, look here, keep your head up, don't bow. If you run the buses because gas was cheap and insurance was cheap, and then you quit running them because it got up, then you're running them for the wrong reason, amen. He's going to supply. He's going to take care. We run them old buses, and I pulled into Virginia somewhere and yet got these for this way back, and the parking lot was gravel. And it'd been raining, and there's puddles all over the parking lot. When a hole's full of water, you can't tell how deep it is. And I couldn't dodge them all. I drove up to the pump, and I went through one, and the backside of the bus went way down in a hole, and then come up. And I started putting diesel fuel in the bus. When you start putting diesel fuel in the bus, you got time to do something else. Go write some poetry, take a nap, paint a picture. I was walking around the bus, them old bias cord tires. I had my tire thumper, and as I was going around, and I thumped all the tires, and I got around to that back side on the driver's side where I'd gone through that hole, and there's a hunk of rubber size of my fist going outside of that tire. You see the cord, some of them's broke. You could almost see the air. Oh, it made me sick. Made me sick in my stomach. Hey, knock that hole outside. Limp to the church, and pastor's name is Riley Nunley. And boy, you know, if you can get the preacher seeing things and praying about it, it's... Don't we have one evangelist in this crowd that can say amen about that? None missionary? Look at, what'd you do, Brother Harold? I said, man, I rode through a hole. Hey, he said, well, we're going to pray about doing something about that. But he didn't. Sorry, low down thing. Went to the next meeting, and that pastor was just a backslid, Brother Ninely. In fact, all year long, one backslid pastor after another didn't do a thing. I got to my home church. Pastor's name is Dr. Ellie Holmes. I said, Brother Holmes, come out here and look at this tire. Oh, he said, that's bad, Harold. I said, we don't care if you travel with a want, but we don't want you to travel with a need. But he didn't do anything either. And the next year when we got back to the church, I said, now listen, you said you're going to do something about that tire. And you didn't do anything. He said, you're right. I said I would. We didn't, but we're going to. But he didn't. And when I sold that bus, had the same tire with the same air in it, amen, going up and down the road, and angels must be fast critters because he had to run alongside that bus holding his thumb on that tire as he went around. I'm going to tell you something. God will take care of you. He will supply your need. I mean, he just will. Parked behind our church one time for Christmas, and a truck driver in our church named Brother Carl Gene Pavram come around there with a tractor. Didn't have a trailer, just a tractor. And he said, Brother Harold, you think I could back this tractor between your bus and your dad's bus? I said, I don't think so, Brother Carl Gene. We're in there pretty tight. Why would you want to anyhow? He said, this truck is a lease truck. My company leases these trucks. He said, it's scheduled to go back to the lease company today. I just filled it up with fuel, and I hate to let the lease company get this fuel. If I could, I was going to back in there and pump you full of fuel. I said, you can do it. You're the bestest truck driver I ever saw in my life, and he backed that thing in there. You couldn't run a piece of toilet paper between the wheel and my bus, and he filled my bus up. I'm going to tell you something. God will take care of you. Out of him came forth the corner. I don't have time to tell you this morning. I don't have time to tell you of 49 years of him taking care and supplying every need and handling everything in our life. Why? He's the corner, amen. That's enough of that. The Bible said he's the nail. We're in the corner, we find our position and supply. In the nail, we find our place. A sure place, like a nail in a holy place, he wrote. Well, I'm glad that when he saved me, he nailed it down in my life. I've never doubted that salvation. I may tomorrow, but I'm telling you something. If I do, I'll be able to go back to that night that he saved me, Brother Caleb, and I'll remember that night, and I'll tell you something. He nailed it down in my heart and life, and I'm saved. You ask me why I'm happy, so I just tell you why. Because my sins are gone. And when I meet the scoffer and he asks me where they are, I say, I don't know and I don't care. They're gone. You need to get some stuff nailed down in your life. G and I are dealing with two couples by phone. One of them married 43 years, the other one married over 50 years that are considering divorce. Why don't you nail that down? Why don't you get that thing right? Get it for God. Give it over to him, amen. I don't tell you something. He can put something in your life that is stable and sure and that will never move. I'm so glad I serve the one that's alive. Oh, my. He's not in my place. He's my security. The corner showed us our position and our supply. The nail shows us our place and our security. Well, I'm telling you, there's nothing like being secure in what you're preaching. You can preach the word of God, this word right here. You can preach this word right here and be secure in your heart that if you're living it, giving it as thus saith the word of God, you're going to help lost souls. You're going to help saved souls. You're going to help families. You're going to help churches. Why? I'll tell you something. This is it right here. This will take you. This will sustain you, amen. This will keep you. When you're down, it'll lift you up. When you're up, it'll knock you off. You feet. We need some of that. I want to tell you something. He is what we need. He said, I out of him came forth the corner, out of him the nail. And then he said this, out of him came forth the battle bow. This is our protection. I'm glad that he fights the battle for me. I could have never whipped death, but he did. I could have never overcome the grave, but he did. And everybody that has ever overcome the grave, it was because of him. Boy, there's some things in the Bible I don't understand. Dr. Kelly's going to do a question thing sometime. The Lord raised Lazarus. Do y'all remember that? Can it get any gooder than that? Can I say gooder here? I mean, blind eyes, that's okay. Deaf ears, that's okay. Lame, that's okay. But raising the dead? And the next few verses says, and many went away and didn't believe on him. They'd say, and I preach, and not a soul comes to the altar. And nobody gets saved. And it breaks my heart. And it makes me feel like I've been a failure that day, that service. But the Bible said many went away after they'd seen a resurrection and didn't believe what he had said. Well, I'm thankful. I'm thankful he's my battle bow. I'm thankful that he fights my battles for me. I'm thankful that he protects me. I'm thankful that he's so good to me. Amen. All these years out on the road serving the Lord, I've never seen any rocks fall. You want to say, watch for falling rocks? Never seen one fall. Been in one wreck, and it wasn't my fault. What? He's protecting us. He's the battle bow. He fights the battles for us, amen. He goes before us and clears out the way and cleans out the path and makes it easier for you to just take a stand, having it all to stand. Stand therefore and let him do the battle for you. Our son took a church down in Florida and still there. And there's some things in the church that they weren't wrong, they just didn't help anything. You ever been in church that it wasn't wrong, it just wasn't helping the matters? He said, Dad, what'd I do? I said, well, son, first of all, you pray about it a while before you ever make a move. And the next Sunday night was a business meeting night. And they had the business meeting. And he said, now, is there anything else? Well, that's a dangerous thing. One man stood up and said, I don't understand this thing that we're involved in here. What is that? My son said, this is it. That's what it is. And he said, well, do we need to be a part of that? He said, no. He said, I'll make a motion. We'll get out. Amen. Then I said, I second. And just like that. Why? Because God went ahead of him and took care of that. That's the battle bow, going ahead of us and taking care of the enemy, amen, and doing what needs to be done. Can I tell you something? If you'll listen to the Lord when he says give a tract, give a witness, to take a Bible to somebody, I'm going to tell you something. He's already been there, and he's already fought that battle, and he's already softened up the enemy, and he's made a way and fertile the ground for you to give that tract out, and it'll be appropriate, and it'll be exactly what God wants to be. He's the battle bow. Not as our protection, he's our safety. Boy, I like this. I don't know about you, but it's a mess out there. Drive through Atlanta. Drive through Dallas. We're 70 foot long with that 45 foot coach. I've got a 22 foot trailer to keep all my wife's shoes and purses in. Said that right. I tell you something, if the Lord wasn't helping us, we came out of Charlotte about 3 weeks ago, 3 months ago, I should say, on 85 coming north out of Charlotte, three lanes of traffic, and it's just, you know, bumper to bumper and everything, and we're just getting out of the city a little bit and starting to pick up speed, and this huge truck tire goes bouncing around, hopping over cars. I said, man, somebody lost a wheel. And I'm looking around for some truck that's got three of them on, you know. It's me. 2 miles later, guy pulls up and I get out there and the middle wheel on the trailer is gone. Hub, rim, wheel, bearings, race, everything gone. That could have killed somebody. That's the battle bow going ahead of you. So I got this. He dribbled that thing like a basketball all over that road. Amen. Thank God it's him. Out of him came forth the corner. Out of him the nail. Out of him the battle bow. And then this, out of him every oppressor together. And I tell you something, that he's in charge of men's hearts and minds. If the mind of the king is in the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, I guarantee you, everybody that lives on this earth, God's got control of. He doesn't make people do wrong. Sometimes he allows it to happen because he gave us a free will. I want to tell you something. He is the one that takes care of us. You say, how can he be the oppressor? How can he do that? He is the one that allows what happens in our life. Amen. If you don't believe that, you don't believe in the providence of God. You don't believe in the sovereignty of God if you don't believe that what happens to you is because he allows it to happen. Now, the devil can't get to you because you have a hedge built around. And to get to Job, he had to get permission from God the Father. Let me touch Job. And you know the story. And Job retained his integrity through it all. Lost 10 children, lost all of his animals, lost his everything he had except his wife. And even she tried to get him to go against God. She come out that day and said, dost thou yet retain that integrity? Curse God and die. Job says basically one word, and the word is what. And he might have said what, but I think he said what? Should we serve God when it's good and then not serve him when it's hard? God never promised you a smooth trip. A safe landing, yes. But he didn't say there won't be storms. He didn't say there won't be adversaries. That hedge that the Christian has about him, the devil can't get in. But we can tear a hole in it and let him in. That's why the Bible said not to give place to the devil. You're getting ready to get on interstate out here, you know, just 10 miles north of here. What is that, 10 or 12, whatever it is? Do y'all know? 12, thank you. And man, they're coming out of Baton Rouge like that, like the city's on fire, and they're all running exactly the speed limit. Plus. And you're sitting there on that exit with your little left turn signal on. No, I can't. And then somebody has compassion on you, slows up a little bit, flashes their lights, and you jump out there in that hole. That's what we do. We give place to the devil. We back up a little bit. We make a space for him in our life. We watch the wrong junk on television. There's not anything on there that's going to help you. I got one. If it ain't black and white, it's not hardly worth watching. If Andy Griffith isn't on it, I do like those old westerns where they throw the bullet out of the end of the gun. And every six shooter's got about 18 rounds. I do like those because the bad guys always lose and the good guys always win. And you can tell them apart. We're living in a sick, sin-sick society. And we're living in a day just like the antediluvians lived in. As the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. What they eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage and women marrying women. And they can't even define woman. It's the opposite of man. I'm not the sharpest knife, but I'm not a spoon either. That will be repeated. God is, he's setting this up. He is not making it happen, but he is allowing it to happen so he can get the glory and the praise and the honor. Out of him is every oppressor together. Not only is he our patience, but he is the one that succors us. Look over to Hebrews chapter number 10, and I'll be through. Hebrews chapter number 10, I can read it better than I can tell it to you. Hebrews, I said chapter 10, it's chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Look down at verse number 14, please. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, that's us, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in those things, in things pertaining to God, and to make a reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Amen. He didn't come down here with the nature of an angel. Listen to me. He came with the seed of Abraham, flesh and blood. And he suffered everything without sin. If he'd have come as an angel, Dr. Kelly, I get in trouble and need help. And I get on my knees and I said, oh Lord, I'm tempted to steal and I'm tempted to lie and I'm tempted to... He'd have had to say, I'm sorry, Harold, I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't come like a man. The Bible said he came like I am. And he went through everything that I've gone through. Amen. And because he knows our heartaches and knows where we falter and fail, though he never did, he knows how he has been tempted to do it. Therefore, he is able to succor us. The word succor is a strong military term, and it literally means to bring the right aid for the situation at hand. Anybody ever give you something that you really couldn't use? We was on the road in the early days of my mom and dad and me and Jeannie, and she was expecting, and two other brothers and a little sister that we really didn't need. I don't even know. Not bitter about that at all. She didn't get near the... Well, never mind. Mom and Dad, me and Jeannie, Blake and Donnie and Christy, 7 and a half. We had 2 buses and we needed a vehicle. The church in Indiana gave us a Volkswagen Bug. 7 and a half people in a Volkswagen Bug. Anybody ever give you something you couldn't use? When I'm tempted, he brings me what I need. He succors me. If you're in a 50-foot valley, he'll never bring a 45-foot ladder. He will bring you what you need. He will bring you what you need. Why? He's everything. Now you think about this today as we go on today, that there's nothing in your life that he's not. So I'm sick. He's allowed it. I'm in financial trouble. He's allowed it, so you'll turn to him. Preacher, we're living week to week, paycheck to paycheck. I said, congratulations, you finally got scriptural. Give us this day our daily bread. Don't give me a month's worth. Then I'll get cold, I'll go fat and sassy and not pray till I need, till I run out of that 30 days. But when he gives us day by day, you pray every day. Amen. He's everything you need. Father, help us in Jesus' precious name. Amen.